This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, producer Matt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You were telling me something pretty exciting, and I thought it would be an interesting thing to tell the listeners who are listening right now.
Yes. Well, the news is, if you actually don't want to hear from me again in this context with ads, all you have to do is join the Patreon. And you can get an ad-free office hours experience.
So right now, there's rubes listening who are not paying, but they're listening to ads after ads.
Yeah, such as this.
I don't listen to the ads. I don't pay attention to that aspect of the show.
Yeah,
but you're telling me there are ads in this podcast.
Oh, whoever's hearing this right now, their experience of office hours is littered with ads.
Yuck. So, but you want
to
listen to it ad free? What do you do?
You just go to patreon.com/officehourslive.
What's that going to cost me? Hundreds of dollars?
Oh, not even close. Not even for $55, you can get a whole year of office hours entertainment.
$55? What? That's well. That's how much you can do it for $5 a month, correct?
If you're a fool,
right?
You would pay. You'd pay $60 for a year at right. $5 a month.
But dripping the money in every week.
Yeah, like a fool. Or you can just cut your check.
Sign up for the year, because we're not going anywhere.
No, we'll be right here. And if you pay, then you don't have to hear this kind of junk anymore.
Ad-free for patron subscribers. That's big.
No.
Let's lock the gates and start the show.
I like having fun, I like to laugh, I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun, yes, I like it to laugh, I like having fun to meet people who laugh. Good afternoon if you're on the East Coast. Good afternoon, good evening if you're anywhere else. Good evening, good early morning if you're down under, waking up for our show. I know you're out there. We love it all! This show does not discriminate against anybody anywhere in the world. I don't care where you live, what little hovel you're hiding in, what cave you're hiding in. You are welcome to listen on our broadcast every Thursday morning. It's Tim Heidecker. It is February 11th. We are just kind of getting ready, getting into that President's Day weekend. President's Day weekend coming up, sponsored by Three Stooges Coffee. Three Stooges Coffee giving out, every show we try to give out a $500,000 gift certificate to Three Stooges Coffee. I'm back last week. A lot of people were shocked. Obviously, people are shocked right now because they're getting used to this new Tim. I've shaved off the big hairy beard, and I got the haircut, and I'm going to tell you all about that throughout the show.
Hello.
We have There's a lot to get to today. We've got a terrific show. Rodney Asher from a great documentary filmmaker is going to be calling. All I care about now is documentaries. I've had so many documentary film directors on the show this year. This is really the premiere, almost like the way the rite of passage that comedians have to do when they go on Mark Maron's show. Now documentarians have to go pass through the office hours gauntlet where I put them to the test. Later in the show, Nick Thune, friend of mine, he's got a new movie to promote. We're gonna, I don't know what we're gonna play a game called Name That Thune. I'm joined by Vic Berger. I'm gonna switch things up a little bit, see if these guys are on their toes this morning. Vic Berger, that's to my left.
Mike Hugh, good morning, Tim.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing just dandy. Excited to be here, and you know,
dandy, are you?
You were missed last week. I know some people disagree with that, but you were missed.
Who disagreed?
Many disagree.
Many would say they enjoyed the show as it was, but some were saying.
I know there's a big overlap.
Nice, some are saying
it. There's a big overlap. We obviously had a wonderful Super Bowl party on Sunday down here, all three of us, and Matt and Wes. And all the patrons were there, so this is not new for them. But I want to say to everybody that's not a patron, A, shame on you as always, freeloaders. B, thank you so much.
Shame on all
for the birthday show and the birthday wishes. Thanks to all the special guests that called in, including my sister. That was nice. And who else? Everybody else, except for the guy from The Sopranos, Carmine Jr. was a bomb. I tried to watch that again. I physically can't get through it. It goes on and on and on and on.
That's
how long was that total video?
It was about 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
You know what? You never commented on the falling off his chair guitar guy. How'd you feel about
that? Oh, that was great. Yeah. What a nice surprise. So he's out there doing cameos?
No.
No.
Wait,
no.
What?
He does not. That was all me. It was all me.
You reached out?
I reached out. I sent him a very nice note.
This guy could be making a killing on Cameo doing
know,
that, right?
He was so nice about it. He was so nice.
That's great.
Nicest guy.
Well, I'm glad he's
He played like a 5-minute song, too, after, which we didn't really use. But
Well, we should show that in the after hours. And Doug Lucenhop as well. I forgot to acknowledge that you're here today. Thank you for being here.
Doug.
You know, every once in a while I have people complain or comment in a negative way.
About me?
On our structure we have here, me in the front, you guys behind me, and some people are disturbed by it, or they're well,
there are no other shows that look like that.
I know, but...
You know, people can't... They need to know what they're used to.
It happened sort of organically. If you watch the early shows, there was always just one kind of webcam, and Doug, you know, just structurally from the office perspective.
Yeah, your computer was against the wall.
Right.
And then where am I going to go? Inside the wall?
No. So...
And then I'd come in, and then... You'd just say, go ahead, set up, standing up or whatever. And I'd have a laptop, and I just got tired of putting it on the music stand.
I used to bring in my own stand.
Did you have a whole stand? Yeah. I didn't have that. Yeah.
And now that we've got multiple angles, doesn't really matter where everybody is, because you can cut to Vic if he's talking and blah, blah, blah. It works out structurally for me.
I wouldn't mind standing.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome to stand. We can make that happen. Anyways.
That might make it weird.
I'm up here?
Yeah, then like you won't see my face.
Don't change the camera angle.
Yeah, just keep the cameras.
Why don't we do this? You stand, but wear a picture of yourself on your shirt. What does that look like?
Like this?
That's not bad.
All right, this is getting
off track. Hear all your stomach sounds.
Off topic, but what if the show just? I would always go, oh, off topic, but and then it's just the regular show. How is there ever a topic? There is a question of the day because we are leading into President's Day.
What's the question of the day?
Oh,
forgot about the question of the day.
What's the question of the day? The question of the day is, who was the most handsome president? I want everybody to think about that. We'll talk about it. Your Zooms will call in. We will. I don't know if we're ever going to get to a number one answer here, but we'll do our best. I've got some ideas. I think I know what it is. There is an objectively right answer to that. But who is the most handsome president? Is it Washington? Is it Harrison? We don't know. We'll find out. Donald Trump? Good-looking guy?
Well, here's a... This should be part of the question, like, while they're in office? Or
no.
Like,
oh. Well.
Because some of them, like, look, I mean, handsome, yeah, younger, but then they're in office.
That's, yeah, ageist. I think, yeah, this, I think you're a good-looking guy list, or you're not.
The list of pictures I was looking at, they had, like...
You're either a ghoul or you're a movie
Tim,
star.
Tim, you can't look at that picture of Andrew Jackson, yeah, when he's older. He looks like a ghoul.
Yeah, like, photography was brand new at the time. They didn't know how to get the lighting right.
I'll give you an example. Abe Lincoln is a
look
ghoul.
At, yeah, look.
He's got, his proportions are all wrong for a handsome guy. I'm talking, who's going to be, who's like got the Brad Pitt, who's got the George Clooney, who's got,
wait, right there,
Errol Flynn.
Zach Taylor looking kind of.
Hey, we're not doing this. We're not going through it,
okay,
now.
Okay, I'm just, somebody pulled it up on the screen. What do you want me to do?
I want the losers, I was going to say the users, but the losers of this podcast.
Wait, these are all men.
They all look, those
it's
all
weird,
four
all
like
men.
This, they look exactly alike.
No, there's been women presidents. They're,
really?
Who, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Factor them in.
Who is the woman, who's the woman president from the 50s?
Stacey.
Margaret.
Rose?
Margaret Hoover.
Margaret.
She was president, right, after Lincoln?
I don't think so.
Remember.
I don't know.
Hmm. There were a few. I don't know. It's not like it was all men.
Let liberty
stand. Guys who just don't bother to look into that, but just, I hate when people are like, there should be a woman president. It's like, there's been women presidents.
Hi, baby girl.
Everyone's just got to chill out with that. It'll. There's been women presidents in the past, and there will be in the future. Not a big deal.
Let's get used to it.
See you at school tomorrow, baby girl.
City of the day.
You're just the most perfect, most beautiful girl in all of the world.
Right, before we get to City of the Day, pause there.
Oh.
Two business items of business. Of course, the Mr. America screening continues until this weekend. When's the last day for that, Matt? Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday, 11:45 p.m.
So you can still pay to watch the film and then see the Q&A. It's about an hour and change of us talking about On Cinema, taking your questions. That's MrAmerica.eventive.org. $10, and I'll tell you what, that's how we're going to make more On Cinema, with those ticket sales. And then this weekend, I'm joined by my lifelong partner, probably a guy I've been, legally, creatively, and on a friendship level, connected to very closely, Eric Wareheim. We have a business together, an Inc. Tim and Eric Inc. Absolutely Productions. We are going to meet here Saturday night, like with the other watch-alongs. We are going to watch some of the more romantic Tim and Eric
episodes. Some kind of virus from
episodes.
China.
Skits.
What day is that?
Saturday. There you go. Saturday's all right for kissing. And we've got all sorts of fun activities planned. We're going to... that's Saturday.
Just,
and Matt, what's the ticket information on that?
Just dropped it in your... there. Viewstub.com.
New company here. Viewstub.com/Tim and Eric.
Not many VIP bundles left.
There's a couple of VIP bundles left. One of them is intercourse with me. It's just what it's come to.
I meant to get a kiss, like I have to call my Facebook.
Stuff that asshole.
Oh, fuck you.
I had a beat off.
If you live in the United States, there's a bundle, I think it's, what, $200, something like that? I'll come out there and I'll fuck ya.
Just drain balls.
We like
you wouldn't think a clean-cut kid like me would be talking this way on this kind of show, but...
Hey there.
I'll get $200, I'll come out, I'll fly out, you know, all expenses paid.
Fucking come.
Set you up at a hotel by the airport, you come by, I'll fuck ya. It's just all business.
What positions are available?
Oh, boy.
Doggy?
I don't know.
In the 69, my Humpty Nose.
Nah. It's 1 hour, whatever you want to do to me.
Oh, 1 hour.
One hour, whatever you want to do to me.
Oh, whatever. They're doing it. They're basically banging you.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And we have 5 of those packages available.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And that's,
are you going to do them one hour?
Well, like, no, it's, I go to wherever you
same time. Block and
there's a time window. There's a weekend that we're looking at in June. It's a long weekend that I'm going to commit to this. So,
when the 1 hour is done, you bring the next one in.
No, I have to fly to the next town.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We're doing a lot of targeted marketing to Chicago. I just figure I'll go to Chicago. That's nice in the middle of the country. Hopefully, get 2 or 3 there, and then if I have to go somewhere else, it's not that big a deal. All right. City of the day. Sorry for all the smut if my mom...
City of the day.
Sweet home, Chicago.
City of the day.
Bit of a different show when I'm at the helm, huh?
Good job.
Well, yeah, it is different.
Yeah, just different. You know what? Just a few more laughs.
It's different.
The City of the Day is brought to you by the Elton John from American Standard. That's the toilet company, finally. A celebrity toilet for men from the King of Pop. Framed, he's not the King of Pop. Oh, King of Piano Pop. The King of Piano Pop. Framed by giant bedazzled glasses on the upper deck and piano keys rounding out the bowl, this beautiful throne is everything a man needs to enjoy his toilet time in style. Now you can listen to I'm Still Standing every time you need to take a whiz and Rocket Man for BMs. Additional songs available from in-bowl purchases. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Well, now you can say goodbye to yellow puddles and stains, thanks to American Standard. You don't have to leave on your diapers with this toilet, and Saturday night's all right for wiping. Order now and get a free candle for your wind.
Candle for your wind.
Order now and get a free candle for your wind. And that's not all. For the Krautrock fans out there, American Standard is proud to present the Can. So go to AmericanStandard.com/shit for their for all our celebrity bowls. That's AmericanStandard.com/SHIT.
The Elton John.
The Elton John. Good stuff. City of the day is Boca Raton, Florida. I'm going to tell you what, Tone. I'm going down to Boca. Tell you what, Tone. Is that one of the clues? Did I just... Because I don't know what the... code is. Is this Soprano? Is the City of the Day Soprano? Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows it. It's a very difficult one.
Well, that would be difficult.
Landon, search high and low. No one's going to crack it, mark my words.
Well, how fun is that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
An uncrackable code.
Yeah. Well, hard to crack.
What's the name of the Native Americans that were very good at code cracking? Somebody tell me that the Apache? There was a group in World War II. There were Native Americans who became experts at code cracking. Maybe they can help us. Let's take a zoomer.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know what, Doug? Learn more. Oh, how about that? That's not a bad idea.
We got a lot of dudes in the Zoom today.
What?
So we're going to dive in. I don't think we've ever talked to Teddy Confetti before.
Teddy Confetti does not ring
Teddy
a bell.
Confetti.
Wind Talkers. Yes, Navajo. Thank you, chat. It's the Navajo people. I'd like to know more about this. Probably a movie.
Oh,
I think there's a movie about that starring maybe, I want to guess, Keanu Reeves. We'll find out.
Here's Teddy.
Teddy. Oh, Teddy boy.
You got to speak
hello,
up, Teddy.
Hello, there hello. He
is. Teddy, where do you think Teddy Roosevelt fits on the list of most handsome presidents?
Most handsome? Let me pull up some pics.
Okay, you take your time.
I gotta see. Hey, it's my first time in the Zoom. You put me on the spot.
Welcome to the Zoom, Teddy. Welcome to the community. You all right?
Thank you.
First of all, I don't like how your microphone is like off.
I know he has to like.
Why don't you bring the microphone in?
He's like the chocolate rain guy.
I was hoping I'd have some more time to figure this out.
Well, you're first up, buddy. You got to come into the Zoom prepped, ready to go.
Where do you want me?
That looks good. You look good.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where are you calling in from, Teddy?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Ooh, they call that Music City.
Music City.
That's Sarah Potenza land.
I did do a few years in Philly until the pandemic. And me and my girlfriend moved back down here.
Okay.
To be closer to family.
What do you do for a living?
Right now I'm doing tree work, so I'm cutting down trees. There's a lot of tree services here.
What the hell you got against trees?
Should we be planting them, not cutting them down?
That's what I'd like to do. I'm trying to find a job doing that.
I respect that. You got to prune them. Getting a haircut. Speaking of which, we can talk about my haircut.
Oh yeah, it looks great, by the way. Oh,
thanks, Teddy.
You look great.
I look 10 years younger, maybe.
Oh, yeah, 10, 15 even.
So, Teddy, do you have anything specific or you just want to say hi?
I just want to say hi. I think Teddy Roosevelt, there's some good pics of him.
He got heavy.
He got big. I'm looking at this, the Theodore Roosevelt Guide to Productivity, and that picture looks pretty darn good.
He's a snack.
He's the one that went to Africa and killed like 500 animals and hauled them back.
He's like a big game hunter.
Big game hunter for sure.
And he would like have boxing matches at the White House with his pals.
Yeah, he's a tough son of a bitch. Not like that polio stricken cousin of his.
Oh, Jesus.
Getting into some rough territory.
I have polio. I can't get up.
You know, he could be the more handsome one, though.
Well, I would like to say I'd like to thank the weather today in Nashville because I couldn't go into work because it was pouring down rain, which means I can be here with you instead.
Oh, Teddy. Well, we're glad to have you, and you got a great energy to you.
Thank you.
I hope you stay safe because sometimes you can knock down one of those branches and bam, down on your head, you're dead.
I'm trying to get out of the industry. It seems like the longer you stay in the industry, the higher the risk of getting a log on your.
Yeah.
You climb up the tree and trim it. You climb way up there with that belt.
Oh yeah.
Are you in that machine that the truck that the scissor lift? Or
what
something?
About that?
We're
wood
old
chipper.
School. We don't do bucket trucks. We don't do that. We just get up in the tree.
Yeah.
I'd like that. My favorite job in that world would be, or as you say, that industry. I don't know if industry is the best word for that.
I'm in the industry.
True Gear Industry Magazine. Check
I would like
out.
To get in front of
they
one
have
of those
a whole
big
obituary section.
One of those big wood chippers. And you're tossing in branches.
That's
and
what
shit.
I do all day, man. I'll take a video. Man. I'll send it to you.
Fuck,
yeah.
Man. I'll do that all day.
You would? I'll trade jobs.
Fucking come up here and run this fucking mental asylum. Try to tame these horses, these wild horses. Wild pig sty. All right, so here we go.
Well, I felt so guilty. I became a patron yesterday because I've been enjoying your show so much. So thank you for guilting
never
me
too
into
soon,
giving you $5.
Never too late. Never too late to show your appreciation for the arts. It's becoming more and more acceptable to become a member of the Patreon community, and you're going to benefit from it so greatly. There's a new service we're offering where I will. Whisper to you. I'll do a whisper session with you. And they're going quickly. They're going quickly. We're doing 100 a month. 100 people a month can qualify, and I'll whisper to you for 25 minutes. Sunday mornings. Teddy, this week is going to be so special for you.
I'll do that to wake up my girlfriend.
You're
going
to have a wonderful week, you little piece of shit. I want to examine your underwear. I want to see if you have any stains, any brown stains down there. Go ahead, show me your underwear. It's a weird experience. I mean, a lot of people are not happy with it. But whatever. I do my best.
Thanks, Matt, for the welcome.
Thank you.
So let me just walk through this, Teddy, since you brought up the haircut. A lot of people want to know what happened. I think on Monday, I said, I got to get rid of this. I got to trim this down. This guy was getting really gross. I don't grow a thick beard. I grow like a pubic beard. I basically look like a like testicles, like balls. My face looks like a couple of balls. Straights. There's lots of straights, like lots of straight ones going out, errant. And then it's like holy in patches, but... And it doesn't exactly grow long. It just kind of keeps growing out. So I thought, well, let me give it a trim. And I went for the trim. And it got... I went too deep in the trim. Because it was this old clippers that doesn't have... Like, it has those stops in it, you know? But it just went all the way down to the bottom. The stops went to one. Zzz, off it goes. I go, okay, fine. I'm committing to the shave. I shave. I look awful because I've got this real long hair and then this... fresh baby face, and my back has gotten so long. I mean, I just look terrible. I look like a, you know, I don't. I mean, I shouldn't even say what I look like. I've gained some weight because all I do
it's
is
nuts.
Eat. I'm on this commercial, and it's like I just keep eating Twix.
I do not shampoo my hair.
And all kinds of stuff going into my body last week.
What kind of craft services did they have for you?
It was okay. I mean, it's different now because of COVID. They're boxing everything. But then there's this bakery, and we're getting all these croissants.
Each M&M was individually bagged.
I'm drinking bourbon. I'm drinking like lots of bourbon at night. Just too much. It was a little bit too much, you know? It was never like out of control. I'm not like partying. It's just you know, when you're traveling, you just have time to kill. Anyways,
Tim,
I'm looking
like
at my hair.
Kind of have a bowl cut.
Well, that's...
You should show this. Are you going to show
no,
the camera?
No, I don't, because it's not... We're not done with this
yet. We're not done with this
story.
My bad.
We're not done with this haircut yet.
It looks fine if you want a bowl cut.
So I call my barber, who I really, as you can imagine, haven't seen in almost 2 years, or like a year and a half. And it's this guy down the street. He's a nice guy. This guy isn't exactly cutting hair for the movie stars. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a place you go for a trip.
You go hang out. You talk. You shoot the shit with the boys.
Yeah. So I go down there and I go, you know what I really like is when my hair was like 2 months ago. As the audience can remember, it was luxurious. It was long. I could put my fingers through it, but it wasn't like down to here. I didn't look like I was living under a bridge. And so
you pull up an image from the show.
I should have. That would have been a smart move. But he starts clipping away.
Shampoo
and
my hair.
He does kind of what I'm so bad at expressing myself in the barber community. You know, I want to get it over with. I want to get out of there. I'm wearing the mask, you know, just nice, like clean it up, trim it, maybe a little like shorten up the back. And so he ends up with like kind of doing what I say. But then I have this big, like, I don't know how you describe that guy. It's like a big, I might want to say mullet, but it's just this big, it's long and it curls up like
tail.
This. So I just look ridiculous.
Like a page boy?
Page boy, I guess, but long in the back, still fairly too long in the back. And he goes, how do you like this? I go, maybe you can cut up more in the back. But then I start getting really, I can't assert myself. I don't want to say it's not good.
I've been in that position.
Wait. You know, I feel bad for the guy. I'm like, well, maybe just a cut a little more. So he cuts, so he doesn't want to go too far. So he cuts a little more. It still ends up too long. I go, I just want to get out of there at that point. I go, you know, thank you. Goodbye. I go home. My wife looks at me and she's like, okay, well, that's a style. That's always the worst when someone says, well, that's a style. That's one way to go. She goes, it's too long in the back. So then I go, she goes out and I have that old beard trimmer that I did my beard with. And I go, this shouldn't be that hard. I can zoot, zit, zit it off. I'll take it by a clump and I'll zip, zip, zip it down.
I do that myself. I've been
and
doing that for
so I'm
years.
Just hacking at it with this beard trimmer. And I, you know, it's those things where the more I do it, the worse it's getting. And so I'm like trying to compensate over here. Uh-huh. And I hack it all off in the back, but it looks bad.
Hi, this is Vic Berger here. And you know I don't like stress. That's why I'm personally inviting you to eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious meals. Every Factor meal is fresh and never frozen. It's chef-created, dietitian approved, and it's ready to eat in just 2 minutes. I tried the chef's choice meal plan, and it was a chef's kiss of meals that hit all the spots and filled our bellies at the burger household. I know you're asking yourself, what were Vic Burger's favorites? Creamy Dijon pork tenderloin and garlic herb salmon. These are classic dishes that are ready to go with no cleanup and not a problem at all. So get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals. And get back to doing what you love this spring. Now, these are premium meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Sign up now! Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code OfficeHours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code OfficeHours50. OfficeHours 50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
So
it has a bit of a Mo Howard quality.
I think it's fine.
Well, so I said to
it's fine.
Marilyn, I said, well, you know what, Doug's, maybe when Doug comes in, he'll give me a cut on the show and he'll finish cleaning it up because you gave me that Beatles cut.
I did a great job, didn't I?
So last night I was, you know, it didn't look terrible, but if you really looked in the back, it looked like I was, you know, got attacked by crows or something. And We went out for dinner, and then on the way back, we stopped at a 7-Eleven. This is just a peek into the kind of life I live. It's like, we stopped, the kids want ice cream, so I go, let's stop at 7-Eleven. They got ice cream right there in the freeze. Bars, all kinds of different ice cream. Right next to the 7-Eleven in Glendale is one of these old-timer barber shops. And I smelled trouble right away, but I said, maybe I should just go in here and let them finish the job. Mm-hmm. And my wife's like, sure, you know, we'll get the ice cream, eat in the car, you go in there. But it's one of these places, guys, this is Glendale, so it's, I believe it's either Armenian, Turkish, or Russian. These guys do not speak the my language, English, no disrespect. They're not interested in any kind of, you know, they're like there to go zzz, 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 and that's it. But I somehow I thought it was going to be okay. And then I sit down and I try to, again, I can't express myself. I say, well, just back is, the back is a little messed up. And he goes, you want sides four? He goes, four? You want number four? I go, and what do I say? I start talking, I don't want to start arguing with the guy about numbers and stuff. Mm-hmm. I go, yeah, yeah, four. Yeah. Gets out the clippers. Zzz, he just puts my hair up and just starts going. Zzz, 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 zzz. I looked at my wife through the window. I just looked at her like, all right.
Now you got an undercut.
It's gone. Now, so now I got to get another cut somewhere else. I'm just going to go over to town and be like, can you?
Soon you'll just be bald.
Well, that's why I was going to go home and just shave the whole thing. Who cares? I don't really care because it's just hair. Start wearing wigs.
There's probably a lot of bald guys listening right now, like saying, cry me a river with this story. You know? They would love to have that problem.
Well, head out to the Crimea River. All right. That's where I'm at. But listen, it's not that bad, but I hear what you're saying. When you look at the back, I look like Mo.
I kind of like, I mean, that was my cut.
Who's going to stare
in high school,
at your
back? That was my cut, the bowl.
Yeah. 30 years ago?
I'm just going to put a hat on.
30, 40, 50 years ago, yeah.
Right.
All right, who wants to compliment me on my hat?
Tim, I got a question for you real quick.
Go ahead.
When you were in high school or any time
did I say compliment
life,
me on my hat or my hair?
Did you?
That was when a glitch. You said hat.
when you went to get haircuts like in high school, would you cut out pictures of magazines and be like, this is the guy I want? Like,
I would do that, and then I would be too nervous to bring it out of my pocket. So just like, I'm just.
I remember doing that. It was like Ricky Schroeder or something.
Vic cut out a picture of Disco Stew.
Disco. And I remember one time going to this barber, and she Vanilla Ice was in style, I guess, at the time. And she like did the whole Vanilla Ice thing to me, and it just looked really rough.
I would like to see that.
And then it just like shaved it off when I got home. Like no sideburns and stuff. It was just weird.
Yeah, I don't know if I
did. Did they give you the eyebrows?
No.
There's always talk about.
No.
There's always talk about feather. Do you want me to feather the bangs? You want me to feather the bangs for you?
Feather the bangs.
Sure. How about when you want to straighten the back or fade? You want to angle?
Oh, Tim, did they ever like just put so much like spray in your hair forever, and then you're thinking the whole time like, I'm gonna wash this out the second I get home.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm just gonna take a shower, like, quit wasting my time.
Too much of that powder at the end too. I feel like I'm allergic to that.
I like
too.
That. I do have this memory of like the place we went was like a salon or whatever in the mall, and it was always very busy, and there's music going on. There's like 30 chairs of. It was very like an active, exciting scene right next to the arcade. Good
Supercuts.
Times.
Yeah, I used to go to Supercuts. I like getting a hot shave too on the neck. That's nice.
I think Ian had a compliment. Ian, are you there? Were you raising your hand?
You look great.
It could look a lot worse.
I didn't realize how much I thought you looked good before. Like, I was liking the beard and the long hair, but when I tuned on today, I almost like had a sigh of relief a little bit. I'm glad it's back.
Imagine that. Imagine having a sigh of relief by seeing me. Looks like I'm talking to some like Irish UFC fighter. That's what I think. That's what I'm pretending. I'm like, you getting ready for the big fight this weekend?
Yeah, I am. I'm I've been doing a lot of punching bags and sit-ups, pull-ups.
Everyone sounds like their head's in a Home Depot bucket.
It does sound
very specific
today.
Stuff. Cool. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the compliments.
I wonder if Tim trimmed all his beard and stuff off after he got triggered by my joke.
Oh, that definitely sat with me.
I like the beard. I was just
All right, we got to move off this subject.
Rodney is here.
Oh, Rodney's right on time? Hey, Rodney, how are you, man?
Oh, I got to unmute him.
Hold on, we're waiting to unmute you.
Hi there.
we're just gonna use drops for your side of the interview, if that's all right.
Well, that makes it so much easier, yeah. Man. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We're just gonna have yes/no questions, and the guys will provide the yeses and the nos. So hopefully it'll sync up with the truth. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me on. Good to see you guys.
Did we meet ever? Maybe at Sundance? Do you remember?
Yeah, no, we met at a Room 237 screening out there. You were hanging out with Lee Unkrich from Pixar.
Yes, Lee Unkrich, a major Shining freak.
The guy, right? He's finally finishing his Tashin book that he's been working on for 25 years.
Oh, I didn't know about that. He's putting together a Shining-specific Tashin book.
Yeah, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, as heavy as a cement block. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how many pages it's going to be, but, you know, all the archives that he's uncovered over the years.
Is he doing it with the cooperation of the Kubrick estate?
Yeah. No, we're fully, he was over there, you know, on some anniversary screening. I think, you know, he knows everybody who's,
well, let's talk who, more
whoever
about,
happened
let's talk more
to be
about
able to walk across that set.
All Let's right. talk more about Lee. Lee got started in. No. you're making a documentary about Lee Unkrich next. So let me think about where to start with you. I don't do any prep on this show. Any kind of
fair enough.
Aside from watching the film, which I did last week. Let's start with 237 Room 237 real quick. That movie. I mean, all your movies. Both of these movies kind of fucked me up in a good way. As people might have seen or not seen, Room 237 is about these many conspiracy theories regarding the film The Shining. And people more about the people who believe them, right?
Yeah, well, you know, and we kind of follow what led them down that road and how they got there and what the movie means to them. You know, a lot of it. It's interesting because, you know, people who hate the movie think that, you know, it's trying to be sort of the encyclopedic skeleton key that interprets, you know, every stray element of the movie. But, you know, if you put the five or six people's theories together who are, you know, we're kind of intercutting through the course of it, you know, they're completely contradict one another.
Right. Yeah, you can't. Yeah. Well, that's the thing about, because I loved it. It was one of those movies I saw at Sundance where I couldn't wait for everybody I knew to see it when it was going to come out. And then I felt that there were people, and I don't mean to bring up criticism of your work, because I hate when people do that to me, but there were people that felt like that you, like the film had a point of view about the meaning of The Shining. And I always kind of felt like that you were just showing how that there are these crazy theories. I mean, it wasn't like you were endorsing any of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to say, though, because the movie is about people who all see this one movie differently.
Yeah.
You know, as people would argue about what my movie was about, it was kind of like history repeating as farce.
I just love, I mean, you're such a, are you, you, you're an editor.
I edit my own stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly.
I mean, that's what one of the things I love about both of these movies is the use of footage. I mean, one thing about Room 237 is you can't go wrong if you've got Kubrick movies to work from as your source visual
sure.
material. Like
right.
the way you use it and kind of tell the story of these conspiracy theories using, like the way, I always remember the way you use that shot of Tom Cruise from Eyes Wide Shut, where he's like, he's hitting his glove, walking out, like the way you reuse that as sort of just like the way that the guy trying to crack the code. I thought that was so great.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I always love the way that, you know, you take a shot, even a shot that people know very well, and you put it in a new context and it means something completely different. I mean, I think we've seen that a lot, you know, since 237, because that goes back, gosh, I hate to say 9 years now, but you know, the way GIFs have become such a part of our language.
Yeah.
Right. And you can use those. And sometimes you'll use them to make more or less the point that they made in the original movie, but often it's not. Like
right.
that Orson clapping GIF.
Which one?
the one of Orson Welles clapping from Citizen Kane.
Yes, yes, yes. I can picture it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems to have changed from a defiant I command everyone else to clap to something more like, well, good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations.
Right.
Is sort of the way that the meaning has shifted, which is kind of fascinating.
It is amazing how you can say so much. Obviously, I mean, a picture says 1,000 words is an obvious sentiment, but you can really communicate pretty much more efficiently with some of those GIFs and images. All right. Glitch in the Matrix. So let me just say, I watched this last week. I was up in Berkeley, staying at this old haunted hotel by myself in this room, and was like, all right, Dory from Magnolia sent me the screener, started up. I knew it was going to be a weirdy, as we say in the business, one of these weirdies. But man, that was fucking spooky in a good way. But it was also, when I watched it alone, sort of on my laptop, it just put all sorts of weird ideas in my head. How did you, first of all, can you just tell us a little bit about what it's about? I know you got to do that, but how did you come to decide that this was going to be a movie you wanted to make?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's about simulation theory, right? The idea that we're all living in something like the Matrix, and that idea, I mean, for me, I only knew it as a science fiction idea, right? Like from, you know, movies like The Matrix or Existenz or The 13th Floor or something.
Yeah.
But I was actually working on another project, The Nightmare, about people who experience sleep paralysis and those kind of shadowy ghost people that they see when they're paralyzed in bed.
Right.
And one of the guys I was talking to suspected that the things that he was seeing in that state of consciousness were actually sort of that he was seeing like the zeros and ones raining down, like right at that scene near the end of The Matrix. And I, you know, very immediately said, sorry. I've got to know more about this, right? And then in the years that went by, you know, and it took a few years before I really jumped into this one, you know, people started talking about, you know, the Berenstain Bears and the Mandela Effect. And right, I came across, there's an essay that this Oxford philosopher wrote, Are You Living in a Simulation? And then, you know, when Elon Musk was talking about it at that, you know, kind of technology conference,
yeah,
that seemed to really mainstream the idea. And then I guess for me, the deal really got sealed as I started to come across all these like common threads and stories where people would describe these, you know, just bizarre and horrifying kind of true stories that felt almost like Twilight Zone stories, but things that happened to them that convinced them that they were living in a simulation. And I was like, well, a nonfiction Twilight Zone movie could be kind of interesting. Let's talk to some people,
right,
who've gone through some weird shit that has left them believing that we're living in the Matrix, and, you know, see what that's all about.
There's.
I have a question.
Well, hold on a minute.
Okay.
Now you stay put. Doug has lots of.
Well, you paused.
I remember this too. A few years ago, there seemed to be this sort of a mathematical, more scientific, sober introduction of this idea into the world. That when you're like, well, if you really play this out, if you look at the probabilities and the fact that the size of the universe and the fact that there could be nearly limitless amounts of civilizations out there, why wouldn't this be a simulation? It's more like the odds are more that it is than it isn't because of just, you know, the trajectory of probabilities.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way that Bostrom puts it, right? That, yeah, if you can imagine that something like that is inevitable, and, you know, and you can talk about, well, the evolution of, you know, video games or what have you. If that is inevitable, whether, you know, on our planet or on, right, some other, you know, as soon as they create one, as soon as they create the second one, there will be more fake universes than real ones.
Right.
So statistically, we're in one of the fake ones.
Right.
So then I mean, his paper is a heck of a lot more sophisticated than that. And the, yeah, math is well beyond my understanding.
Yeah.
But
you just got to defer, you know, to the experts at that point. You're like, well, let me look into these numbers. I'm not going to be
I defer to the fact that people smarter than me take it seriously and then move on.
So two things. Did it change your opinion about this subject? And second question is, does it matter? Does any of that, like, does it matter? Should we really worry about this? Or not that you need to worry about it, but I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, the second one, I think, is more where I've landed, you know, that, you know, unless you're somebody working at the bleeding edge of physics and you think that you're going to break us out of the matrix, in other respects, everything else just kind of continues on the same.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. I mean, we talked about it the other day with the guys because we both kind of, we all kind of had different thoughts on it and like whether they believe it or not believe it and whether it matters or not. And the thing, the two things that kind of sat with me with the movie is as I watched my daughter playing like Minecraft and playing Roblox and her grow, like the way she's going to grow up is like much more of her life is going to be in a simulation of some kind. And so much of the way we communicate with people is generally simulated and there's avatars for things. And so I think the, we're actually without like deciding to, or whether we acknowledge it is it just is a fact that, that we're leading more and more of our life in a virtual world.
Well, even this conversation, right? You know, I'm seeing you as a tiny little cartoon on my iPad.
Right.
But interacting with you, assuming that that cartoon is linked somehow through electronic magic to a real person out there someplace.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that it does seem to be an answer for and maybe even a replacement for religion for a lot of people. It does provide some kind of meaning, some kind of understanding of why they're here, or, you know what I mean? Like, and then religion itself, I love somebody said in the movie that like the concept of the afterlife is sort of the ultimate idea of that this is a simulation. Like real life is apparently when you die and go to wherever you're supposed to go, and that this was some kind of simulated, you know, you're living in a in a vessel of some kind.
Yeah, well, there's that amazing image from Albert Brooks's Defending Your Life, where he has to like rewatch like playground taunts and stuff on a, in a screening room.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, I play you know like Rocket League with my son, and after every goal, you get that same kind of instant replay. Though you know, God knows there are many moments from my life that I would be absolutely horrified to have to watch in a screening room with a couple of angels taking notes.
Doug, your question now. I turn to the guys for their questions.
Okay, my question is:
it must be respectful.
All, I thought the movie was awesome, and just it was a cool ride and a cool trip. But like, there's a couple interviews where the people are animated as like avatars, like hyper realistic Instagram filters, if that's an easy way to explain it. But I'm just curious, did those people not want their faces shown, or how did that come about the way you animated those interviews?
Yeah. You know, I mean, that was my idea before we even landed on who we were going to talk to. It was, I mean, the way Tim was talking about, you know, kids interacting with each other in Animal Crossing or Roblox, of sort of trying to visualize that kind of technological distance of, you know, speaking to people through these screens. And then it also, you know, had the nice sort of side effect that we could take those same animated characters and put them into, you know, those dramatic reenactments and not, you know, have to fit an actor with the right kind of a fake mustache to look a little bit like the people that we talked to.
Yeah. So they didn't insist that they didn't want their faces shown or something.
One of them wanted to be anonymous, but that wasn't the reason. That was a path we had decided to go on before.
It's much more fun to look at like that, I think, than.
Yeah, well, I mean, because the calls are fairly lo-fi, you know, ugly Skype calls.
Yeah.
And I kind of decided to let go and let God, and with as far as whatever background we happen to be, they happen to be calling in from, and forcing the animators to put the characters into, you know, these, you know, whatever the mundane space. Photographed by an iPad under a low wattage blinking light.
I didn't realize how much Philip K. Dick really bought into this idea. That's part of the movie is very surprising.
Yeah, well, I mean, he had that experience in 74, right?
Yeah.
The Valis experience, which, you know, kind of convinced him that all the books that he had written before were actually nonfiction.
They're true histories, of an alternate universe.
So then that blew my mind when we were, when I was talking to Chris Ware, you know, the cartoonist, you know, who said that, like, he wrote this story about a character who meets his estranged dad, you know, only as an adult, and then the dad dies. And then as he was finishing the story, he met his dad for the first time as an adult, and then his dad died.
Yeah.
And the idea of people writing fictions that then come true afterwards is a very tripped out one.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, coincidences do happen. It feels a little like, you know, you can, like, the day after I read that, or the day after I watched that movie, it was my birthday, and I went out, we were at dinner at this hotel, or at a friend's house, and I came up the elevator to my room, and I was on the sixth floor, and I got off, and right there to the right, we're not in a lobby, because it's just the sixth floor of this hotel, a gathering of people had gathered for somebody else's birthday, and they had a big birthday thing going. And I was like, oh, it's my birthday too. And that was freaky for them. Cause I don't know, when do you run into somebody that's having a birthday party on your birthday on a random hotel room? But I certainly didn't think that somebody had programmed that to happen.
Tim, was that room number 237?
It was room.
That would have been a sign.
Well, I mean, coincidences happen often enough that they made up a word for him.
Coincidence. It's a great word. Well, Rodney, thanks for doing this. And I just think you're such a fun guy to watch when you come out with stuff, because it's always going to be weird and unsettling and makes you think about stuff.
Well, thanks a lot, Tim. I'm a fan of your stuff too, man.
Make a documentary about me next. That's what I tell all the people that come in, all the documentaries, all the people that make documentaries. That's what I say. So, yeah, make one about me. Why not? You know, I mean, make it be a positive thing, not one of these.
Tim, it's too soon. You got to let your body of work keep growing.
All right. So stick around for a while. Make something like when I'm in my 50s or 60s, and I think it'll win a lot of awards.
You could do Tim documentary part one, and then it's a decade part two. You know?
Oh, we could do like a 7-Up kind of thing.
Well, we should have started a long time ago. All right, Rodney. Take care, man. Thanks for calling in.
Good to talk to you guys.
All right. See ya.
Sure. Thanks. Bye.
Tim Heidecker, 45 up. And then in 45 more years, we do the next one. Too.
That guy died. The guy that made the 7-Up series died.
Well, I mean...
But I'm saying
I'm not surprised he had to be like really old at that point.
What are those people are going to do now?
Because those kids are old already.
They got no ending. Let's take a caller.
They got no ending.
Zoomster.
All right. I was looking at.
Also, I go ahead. Bring somebody in. Then I must talk about my baby boy, Bruce Springsteen.
My Dugan. Baby Dugan. Can you talk?
Hello, Dugan. My name's Dugan.
I got a potential replacement for Gray Niner here.
Rob.
Where's Dugan?
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Dugan.
This looks dangerous.
Oh, shit. We're going to watch a vehicular manslaughter here. I scared the shit out of me.
Want to see that airbag pop?
Also, we have somebody, Matt, by the way, The Glitch, who's in a VR right now. I don't know if you noticed
We'll
that.
Check back with Dugan. He's having sound problems. Yeah, let's go to The Glitch.
The Glitch is with us.
Can you unmute with your Glitch glasses, Glitch?
Oh. There he is. Hello. Are you watching us in VR?
I am.
How's that? Yeah. How's that experience?
It's fucking real.
I mean, we're not broadcasting in VR, so is it just the YouTube? It's just
I'm kind of walking around the room and get a little...
That's so weird. The screws on the bottom look like his eyeballs is stressing me out.
No, I am watching on the screen.
Why don't they make little googly eyes for you the front of those things so that you look like you look and they kind of blink
around. I know, makes us feel comfortable to look at.
Some kind of eyebrows. They're gonna do that. I'm telling you know what's gonna be funny? Oh, and it's fucked up. Oh, I'm having a fucked up moment right now. In 10 years, fucking 5 years, 20 years, whatever, that thing that he's wearing is going to look so stupid, but they're going to have another version of that like you will barely see. Mm-hmm. There'll be like these little
contact things lenses.
You
wear.
Yeah. They'll be like, you should see what the VR goggles looked like in 2020, man. Hey, it looks so stupid. But
it's
now, Now you don't even, I forget I'm wearing mine.
Have you tried them? You've tried this before?
Yeah. Are you kidding?
It's freaky.
You didn't see a whole season of On Cinema we did VR. But
I saw it.
I did one. My brother-in-law had he was an early adopter of the VR world. And he had a setup in his room with all the cameras all those like sensors and stuff. So it like used the whole room. And he had this game or an experience that was like a moonwalk, or no, like a spacewalk thing where you start and you climb out of a capsule and then you're like have to walk across this thing, this pole in space. Dude, I was on the ground like. I couldn't, it was so, I mean, for a guy that has fear of heights, it felt like I just wanted to crawl into a fetal position.
What's the longest you've ever worn those? That doesn't matter.
No, Vic wants to know.
What's the longest you've ever worn those goggles?
An hour.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
What do you keep looking down at? What's down there?
Yeah. I'm switching my background.
You taking a whiz in space or what?
I'm switching my background out, trying to get some trippy shit. Hey, can you guys drop the shit out of me with those sound effects?
Yeah, hit them hard. Hit them hard while I get some more Joe. Hit them hard, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you. You get to, you get your fix, man.
A little bit.
Wait, hey,
did you notice there's some weird stuff going on here with glitches?
Where's your audio coming in? Is it just through your speakers, or you got headphones in?
Through my Zoom.
Oh boy. All right. Goodbye. Now everybody's asking me two things. What do you think about your boy Bruce Springsteen doing commercial? What do you think about your boy Bruce Springsteen doing? But let me tell you, we sat here, that came on. We had the sound off. I said, don't worry. Don't worry. This is going to be for like some charity, some veterans group, or, you know, something non-commercial. And then there it was at the end, the Jeep. And I said, fucking A, Bruce, come on, man.
A letdown.
A little bit of a letdown. The content apparently was a little iffy because it was kind of like, right, we're all one, we have to unite and forgive our Nazi cohabitants. And but then I read more about it and I said, well, the guy's trying to, it's kind of sounded like it took a long time. It was a long discussion about the content of it and what it was for. I still think, like, I hate kind of dinging people for making that decision, because almost everybody has. I mean, everybody has done something for money that you feel like, it's kind of iffy. I don't need this, but it seems like it's okay. And you just, you know, that ship has sailed for like almost everybody.
I heard they got him for Jeep.
They got him for Jeep. So whatever, he did that. Now, here's where I think he's been. Then we find the news the other day that he gets this DUI. Oh, he gets the DUI. And we look into the DOI. Do you guys see this story this morning? That the details. That's enough. Let me cut you off. The detail. Do it again. I'll show you a funny. So the details of the. Wait, you gotta do it again. I don't. Many people have seen this, but the details are: Bruce is out there on his hog. Patty, if little Stevie calls, tell him I'm out riding around on my motorcycle. I gotta find the heartland. I'm not gonna wear my helmet. You kidding me? All right, Bruce, says Patty. Be home for supper now.
All right, Bruce.
Be careful. Whatever you say, boss. Stevie calls. Hey, you pay. Is Bruce there? No, he's on his motorcycle. All right, well, tell him I called. What story is this? Who was this? Sil? I mean, Little Stevie?
He's just going for a joyride?
I'm going for a joyride. It's freezing out, but I gotta get out. I gotta go through the wetlands of New Jersey. Gotta go to Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook. That's the name of that, but it's not the place where that horrible shooting happened. That's just the name. It's Sandy Hook, New Jersey. I'm gonna ride around on federal land. It's a federal park. It's a national park. It's a great place for riding my motorcycle.
Wonder if he's wearing a helmet.
My Mitsubishi. My Kawasaki.
What's he got?
I got a Kawasaki motorcycle.
I hope he's riding a hog, because he's got to be born in the USA, not some of these.
It's a BMW motorcycle. It's my Maserati motorcycle.
So anyways, he's zooming around, vroom on his motorcycle, and some fans. He runs into some fans somehow. I don't know how that happens. He's like,
hey, do you like my music? Do you check out my latest? You ever check out Devils and Dust? How about the Seeger Sessions? People don't like Seeger Sessions.
Anyways, these fans flag him down. Bruce! He goes, they go, man, can we get a picture with you? He's like, yeah, I'll take selfies with anybody. I don't give a shit. I just got to get out of Patty Ski Alpha's way while she's cooking for a couple hours. She's trying to put background vocals on everything I do these days. She's coming in with, she's wearing those gloves without fingers. I said, Patty, let me sing this one. Let Little Stevie come in on the top, on the third. I don't need no lady voice on this song. That's the wife. She wants to be on every one of my songs now. Anyways. So I get this picture, and they offer Bruce a shot of tequila. I'm not going to say no. How am I going to say no to my fans? That's out of respect I take that shot. So he takes a shot of tequila. Now, Matt has an issue because it's COVID and whatever. But boss ain't no snowflake. He takes that Quattro. No, what's it called?
Patron.
Patron. Bing! Shots it back. 70-year-old guy taking shots.
Apparently, he on said his it was motorbike. Two. Said he
was
took
it,
two.
What? Was it
I'm going to get another one.
No. Dan Aykroyd skull brand?
Oh, that would be it.
Or is that vodka?
That's vodka.
The
vodka,
article said right. One shot.
Yeah, one shot. What are you getting? You're talking about 41 shots, his song.
No,
about
the... Springsteen told the officer he had consumed 2 shots of tequila in the past 20 minutes, so maybe...
Oh, I'm going to get another one of those.
Yeah.
One for the road.
Yeah. I'm going to get one for the road. Meanwhile, it's State Trooper, fucking State Trooper, sitting there watching the whole thing go down. He's thinking, I'm getting Bruce back for all that anti-cop shit, all that Biden talk he was doing. Probably some MAGA cop, Blue Lives Matter.
He was in a national
shit.
Park, too. That was
what?
He was in a national park.
He was in a national... He was, yeah. State Trooper. He's always singing about state troopers. State Trooper went over the county line. Anyways, the cop pulls him over. He goes, I saw you, boss. Hey, Bruce, I saw you. You took shots of tequila. Don't say you didn't now. I saw you. Well, I'm just trying to get on my motorcycle and get home to Patty. You pull over. That's reckless, Bruce. You're not allowed to drink on federal lands. You know that, boss. Now, do I need to call Max to come and get you out of here? You can't call Gary Federici. He died of cancer. You're not going to get the big man to get you. You're not going to get the big man to get you out of this fix. He passed on too.
According to the cop, he was asked to take 18 steps, but the boss took 45. He just went above and beyond.
I'll do as many steps as you want.
Give a tribute to Trump.
I think
I'm
so.
Walk all,
that's a good point. Yeah.
I'm going to walk all the way to California. I'll show you how. I could do 41 shots of tequila, just like my song.
That's
about
a
the
good way to get
Abdul,
out of.
Abdul, what's his name, who got shot by the cops in New York.
Tim, it's a good way to get out of a DUI is they take it. You just keep walking until you're out of their jurisdiction.
Just walk off the
then
state
you're just
property.
Like, I'm out.
Look at me.
See you, Sayers.
Anyways.
Stop. But, I'm going to keep walking.
How am I doing?
Here's my thing, though. Here's the brilliance of Bruce. He goes to Patty. He goes, I'm going to go out. I'm going to get myself a DUI. That way... And we're going to keep it real secret now. We're going to keep it real quiet.
This is all planned.
This is him. He's in the studio. All right, Bruce, that's a good take. All right, keep the mic on. I'm going to tell Patty something. She's in the mixing room. Patty,
I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go on my motorcycle. Get myself a DUI. I got some fans. Gonna set it up. We're gonna get it nice and easy. We're gonna make it look like I'm drinking, but blood alcohol level's gonna come down way under the limit. Here's the deal. Then we're gonna go out and do that Jeep commercial. See, boy, ain't gonna tell nobody about that DUI. Then once that shit airs, we're gonna put the news out about the DUI. Then Jeep's gonna have to pull that ad. See, I get paid. No one sees the damn ad. It goes away.
That's a beautiful plan, Bruce.
I like it.
Did you mention that this happened months ago?
Yeah, it happened in November. Yeah. Here's what you're going to do. Don't tell nobody about this. Till after that damn Super Bowl commercial airs. We take that money, cash the check. Then they have to pull the damn ad. They only show it once.
What you want? It's in the contract. If I get a DUI, I still keep the cash.
The video goes down.
Anyways, I wasn't in no Jeep. I was on my motorcycle. Anyways, I love the boss. He can do it. I don't care if that kid's, if boss is slaughtering children. Let him slaughter. He's done enough good deeds. Farm aid, whatever.
I want that drop now. Let him slaughter.
Let him slaughter. Anyways, I think he's a... He's just done so many good things, and he's just lived such a admirable life.
Like, he's done so much good that it's fine, whatever he wants to write out on.
I just don't want him to be... I don't want this to stain his legacy.
The pounding.
Any thoughts on that, folks?
Well, we could see what Nick Thune has to
say. Nick can wait.
That.
I want to hear from my crowd.
Cut to tape.
Nick can sit. Trust me, I'm not... We can hang.
He's going to sit. Sorry, Nick.
If he wants to come in and talk about Bruce, he can. I don't care. But I do want to get another most handsome nomination.
Sounds like a dope band.
All right. I'm looking. I was all set with... Oh, we got Matt Colby with funny glasses.
You know what's funny? This guy, Alex Van Horn in the Zoom, looks like Nick Thune.
Oh, all right. Let's bring him in.
Let's bring him in.
Let's have a...
Little bit. This is going to piss off Nick. My guest is Nick Thune. Now go to Alex.
It's Nick. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Hey, Nick.
I see it.
How's it going, Hello. Buddy?
Oh, you know, just tuning around.
Yeah, you got a new movie coming out?
Oh, yeah. The Thune 2.
What's it called?
Thune 2.
Thune 2.
Thune 2. Well, this isn't going to work. I see Nick in the Zoom. It's not going to work if Nick's not wearing his patented glasses. Come on, Nick. Oh, now the other guy's taking the glasses off. Come on. Everybody put your glasses on, the glasses you're known for, so I don't look like an idiot. Nick, come on. Help me out here. He doesn't have them. He's confused.
Yeah, but
all right, forget it. Let's bring Nick in here. He's waited
Nick,
too long.
Are you muted? What's going on? Are you there?
Nick, the real Nick Thune.
I'm here, Tim. I'm here, Doug.
Oh, well, now that's a Nick Thune.
Vic.
Now that's a Nick Thune. That other guy's trash compared to you.
I mean, that guy was a great... I mean, he got the name of the movie right.
Has he done any stand-in work for you?
You know what? It's hard to tell. I never actually make, see those people because... You know, the thing is online, it says I'm 6'8". So they bring in people that are 6'8", and then they realize that I'm not that tall.
You're not
6'8". And then I end up doing all my own stand-up.
What are you, 6'3", maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
What's your take on this Bruce story? You're a Bruce Springsteen guy.
I think your take is right on. I think, you know, him with his fans having a couple shots, I don't want it to turn his legacy down. I was thinking about him and Jerry Maguire, you know, and he's...
Is he in that movie?
He's just kind of playing the guitar and he's talking to...
Secret
you know,
Garden.
He's like playing a Stratocaster and he's like joking around and playing licks. You
really?
Remember that?
No.
Yeah.
Let's bring that up. Mm-hmm. Bring that clip up.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I don't know, man. I just
think... Oh, is that High Fidelity? Oh, yeah, that's High Fidelity.
It's hard to be the boss in the city.
Mm-hmm.
You're a music head. There's a lot of music out there right now.
Keep going. Oh man, music is just going.
How's your
people are putting it out?
How's your quarantine going?
It's good. I'm in Canada right now, quarantining.
What?
Yeah.
What are you shooting something up there?
If the quarantine goes well, this is a trial period.
What do you mean?
But yeah, I'm on day 14 of it right now. 14 of 14.
Mm. Of the isolation.
Yep.
And then you go into, then you're shooting. So you are shooting something up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
What can you, what is it? You can't tell?
I don't know yet.
The new, the new Judd Apatow movie now up there.
Yeah. It's the new,
you didn't leave that room in 14 days.
Come on. Can I just,
I'm Nick doesn't middle. Care if I jump in.
No, I haven't. I have not walked out past that. I'm not staying in a hotel though. So that's nice.
Is no. Judd Apatow's like, my focus is now on Nick Thune. I've put energy towards Pete Holmes for a long time, for many years.
I've already lost his focus. He put focus on me like 14 years ago and I messed it up.
He's come around again. And then he's like, he bled out Pete Holmes. He used every piece of Pete Holmes, all the bones and blood and tendons. Now he's on. Now he's gonna pillage. He's gonna pillage Pete Davidson, and he's already down to the scraps there. And now he's got eyes on Nick Thune. He's full circle.
Slick. Army Hammer time.
He's got his picture up. He's like, you know what? I fucked it up with Nick Thune. I should go back to that. I think there's still some meat on that bone.
I like the idea that he's the one that fucked it up. I think that's good.
Did you fuck it up? Is there a thing there? Is there a story there?
No, I mean, I didn't perform. I was in Knocked Up and they cut it.
Oh, were you in Funny People?
No.
Come on, man. You could have been in that movie. You should cut yourself into that movie.
Just start cutting myself into all of that movie.
Well, that one would be easy because there's so much stand-up footage. You just like take a clip of you doing stand-up and just edit it into the movie and start putting it out on online.
Yeah.
Replace the file.
That's a great idea.
Get some hackers to replace the file on the streamers.
Wasn't that Brody? What Brody was famously saying, he was cut out of Funny People, right? Brody Stevens.
Yeah. Yeah, Brody. He was cut out of a lot of movies, I think.
Well, Nick, what you're not shooting the movie that you're promoting. That would be a confusing
situation. I mean, I'm promoting it to the production crew.
Letting everybody know the call times tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I'm promoting a movie. It's called The Right One.
The Right One, the Donald Trump story.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you're working with what's that guy's name? Dinesh D'Souza.
Yay! And make America great again.
And this is all. This is the 3 days leading up to him deciding to run for president.
Yeah, you're one of his advisors. What if they cast you as like Corey Lewandowski, and you're just you're basically like this cool hipster guy, beard. Everybody around him are these cool people, and they're like. Everything else about it is kind of accurate, except all the people around him don't look like those people at all.
He was trying to get Trump Tower in Brooklyn. There was, you know, wasn't working.
And Jeff Garland is playing Donald Trump, which is just be interesting.
That'll be really good. Yeah. With his improv skills.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope it doesn't come across that I'm jabbing on Nick here. Thank you, fellas. We're having fun here. I'm just jabbing. Just
protest is your ass.
Jabbing around, jumping.
I don't know who. I don't know. I mean, is it coming across okay to Vic over there?
Vic,
it sounds all right. You're getting a little.
Am I getting chippy?
You're veering towards negativity, I think. Just trying to keep it a little positive.
I like that the right one is this movie. What's the movie really about?
Well, the movie is about a guy, and it's, he's just kind of making it through life. And really, in the end, he kind of figures everything out, and he's good to go.
Spoiler.
Are you the star of this movie?
Yes. No, me and Cleopatra Coleman are the stars of it, yeah.
Cleopatra? Who? Cleopatra Coleman. Is she Dabney Coleman's daughter?
I don't know. What's after?
What if Dabney Coleman was like, I'm going to name my daughter Cleopatra. Fuck it. Who?
A terrible question to ask.
Wait a minute. Calm down. We've got a game ready for you. Are you ready to play a game?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a music fan.
I mean, I am a fan, yeah. Exactly what you gotta do. Oh. You gotta
name that food. This is Name That Food. Exactly what you gotta do. You gotta name that food. Wrote that and recorded it this morning. Right here. It'll be probably the first track on Slaps, Bops, and Bangers Volume 2.
You're so prolific is what I admire about you.
Thank you. I make the time to do this show every week. I put all my other projects aside. So you got to wait. Wait for me to clear out this morning. All right. So, Matt, we haven't discussed at all how this game works. These are all songs.
You got to run it, right? Or am I running it?
I'll run it. The question to you, Nick, is you've got to name this Thune, and these are songs that start with T-H-U.
T-H-U-N.
T-H-U-N.
All these song titles.
I'm great.
Here's how I told Matt this is going to go. Starts up very easy and then gets very hard.
Uh-huh.
It'll be just obvious and then impossible. So enjoy
Garth
it.
Brooks and then, yeah.
You blew the gag, Tim.
Here's the first one.
Wait, who's playing it? I thought you were.
I don't have it up.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I just said, are you running?
Oh, I thought I'm hosting.
Is he playing against a Zoomer or something? Or?
You want me to play the song?
Let's play against a Zoomer. I mean, I don't have it anywhere near in my. I don't have it in my notes or anywhere.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to play against somebody? Maybe play against fake Nick.
Yeah,
Thune.
Fake Nick.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome, right?
What's his name again?
Oh, hold on. Nick. Let me check my notes.
Was it Alex? Sorry.
How about
there
Kate?
He is in the middle there.
Who? Kate? You want Kate?
Yeah. Well,
can you on?
There's only so many Nicks I could look at once.
Kate, are you there?
Point.
Hi. I was literally just typing that I'll for sure lose, so okay. Make look really good. I don't know if that's what you want, but
sure.
No, they're trying to tear me down here. That's how we want to get.
Okay. All right. You ready?
I'll help Nick because I know all the answers.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Okay, first one, easy one.
That's enough.
Thunderstruck.
Thunderstruck. Nick gets a point. Ding, 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 ding.
Wait, are we just supposed to answer or what's the...
Yeah, you got it.
Shout it out.
Shout it out. Okay. Shout.
And Caitlin, did you know that?
No.
Okay. Don't worry about her.
I'm just here to make you look good, so... But if anybody in the chat wants to help me out.
There you go. Chatters, chat away. All right.
All right, number two.
Number two.
Mm-hmm.
Thunder Road.
That's Thunder Road,
oh,
right?
Wait, Kate.
Oh, Kate.
Whoa.
Kate got that.
It. Kate came in.
Tied. All right.
All right, number three.
God. Thunder Kiss. I mean, I know that song.
Wait,
is it
Kate?
Kate got it.
It's not the complete name.
What did she say?
She got half.
Thunder Kiss 956 or something.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
65.
Okay. Oh.
I think Kate's getting help in the chat. Is that true, Kate?
Oh, she is. Hey, maybe. Don't help her.
No, but I've sanctioned that. So.
Okay.
I prefer cheating.
All right, now it's getting hard.
Okay.
So basically, it's Nick against the chat room.
Yeah.
Oh. It sounds like it's like a Walter Mitty soundtrack.
Keep it going.
Thunderclouds? Is that the name of that
yeah.
song?
Yeah!
Wow.
No. No.
What?
Is it?
No, it's wrong.
Oh, it's wrong.
It's Angele La Thune.
But that doesn't start with... That doesn't start with the... Forget that one. Throw that one out. That one doesn't count.
It's a good one. It's called La Thune. All right. Another?
I'll say.
Yeah.
Mastodon?
What was that?
Oh, is it Blood and Thunder?
Yes. Yes.
Wait. Has Nick found the chat too?
Yeah. I know, but I'm acting like I don't have it.
All right, here's a good one. Can you pump it up?
It's pretty amazing that anybody knows any of this.
No.
Unless somebody's this. Go ahead, Nick.
I should have my, like, what's that app that
I was
going to
say, you get Shazam going and you're home free.
Oh, yeah.
Thunder sounds for sleep.
Close.
Oh, that was it. Wow.
That was this was like a trick one. It's Sleepy John Thunder and Rain Sounds Part 50.
Oh, how do you keep finding these things that are not doesn't begin with Thun? I should say it has Thun, T-H-U-N in the name.
There's a
of
word
title.
In it that begins with that. Yeah.
That's rotten. Let me explain my concept for this game, which I think would have been stronger. Name that Thun, and you play a song by a band whose name starts with T-H.
Okay.
I agree. That's
so, for example,
a lot of options there.
Exactly, Nick.
Okay.
Hey, Jude.
Hey, Thun.
Hey, Jude. What band is that?
Is that the Beatles or
yes,
is that?
That's the Beatles. T-H.
I was gonna say Paul McCartney.
What about Last train to Clarksville, and I'm leaving at the station.
The Monkees.
Yeah, the Monkees.
Oh, the Monkees.
The Monkees.
I get high.
So have you gone nuts up there in your isolation?
There was one day that things got a little, you know, I don't know what happened that day. Yeah, yeah.
What do you, like, give me, like, halfway through, what are you doing throughout the day?
I'm mostly... mostly trying to not watch TV all the time. Yeah. And like I asked, you know, Steve Agee, he did it. And I asked him what he did. And he said, smoked weed and played video games, which are two things I don't do.
Right.
So yeah, that, I, you know, I wouldn't do that. That really took that out. Yeah.
Now that you've outed Steve Agee, I mean, does he know that you, does he want you talking about his drug use? Have you talked to him about
that? I think he's pretty open about it. Yeah.
Do you play music? Well, you have your guitar up there.
I've got my guitar here.
Let me ask you, are you a finger picker with the guitar?
Yeah.
You can, are you using more than, how many fingers are you using on your finger picking?
I can do three, but a lot of the times I just do this.
What's that called? Chicken, like, picking or whatever? Is that?
Travis picking. Yeah.
I want to get better and better at that. You ever use the thumb pick?
No, I have one and I want to. I mean, I think Kurt Vile is like the best finger picker, the way that he does it. Because a lot of times he just seems like he's doing these two fingers. But yeah.
But he's got a nice roll. They call that a roll, right? A roll.
Yeah. 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 Tom Van Zandt had a nice roll to him.
We should get together and just work on our finger picking.
That'd be great. I have done that a little bit on YouTube, you know, just pulling up a video, doing some practices.
You know what I did this morning? My daughter loves that song by, what's her name? Billie Eilish. And we figured it out on the keyboard how to play it. So I've taught my daughter how to play that lick. It comes in handy.
She probably thinks that's pretty cool.
She does.
I'm like Dylan.
I think I do too.
Vic, any questions for Nick Thun? I know you said this morning you had a lot to talk to him about.
I had a lot to talk about. No, did I really say that? Do you like ever grow your thumbnail real long?
Grow your thumb.
Not your thumb, the thumbnail to pluck your guitar. Is that instead of using?
Oh, yeah.
That's always a little gross to me.
Sometimes I'll clip my left hand and keep my right hand for a couple extra days because it sounds better.
I know. I got to stop biting my nails.
Ugh.
What?
You get pinworms biting your nails.
I get pinworms?
You know what pinworms are?
No, tell me.
They're like little like eggs and worms that live under your, like you get in the, get when you're digging in the dirt, they get under your nails.
What am I digging in the dirt?
Well, anything. You could be anywhere. You'd be out getting a haircut.
It's mostly poop, isn't it?
Yeah, but then it grows in your intestines, and then
so
you gotta. Then it's like they live in your butthole. Look them up.
Tim's looking for a downside.
Yeah, they live in your butthole, and
you're digging in the dirt. Next thing you know, you got worms in your butthole.
Yeah, do not bite your nails. That should be the number one thing. Do not bite your nails.
I'm not digging in the dirt, so there's no worries there.
But you go anywhere.
What am I digging in the dirt looking for worms to fish with?
I don't know. Just you
Who's
never
digging
know.
In the dirt.
You never know. Oh,
I'm a 45 year old man. I'm not digging in the dirt
you could
with
touch
my bare
a door
hands.
Knob or something. I don't know. I just do not recommend biting nails.
It's all right.
I like biting them.
If you got itchy butt, decades, that's fine.
And I got no worms in my butthole.
You bite your nails?
All right.
I live them off. I never trim them away.
So much protein in there.
I clip them off.
If you bite them enough and you actually chew up the pinworms, you eat the pinworms, you get a little protein out of that.
Yeah. Living your nails off is a good way to do it.
Have you moved bowels yet today, Nick?
I have not cleared them, but I do at this house that I'm in have a bidet.
Wow.
Which
you ever
is nice.
Accidentally shit in the bidet?
It's in the same toilet. It's in the toilet.
Oh, it's connected. Okay.
Yeah. So I have a few times.
Are you allowed to leave during this? Like, can you go to the grocery store? Or do you have to have somebody do it for you? Do you have to like
delivery? Yeah. Actually, Canada calls you a couple times a week to just say like, do you need groceries?
Wait, really?
Is this film? Wow. Film or is this a TV show or a film?
A film.
I have a question. Are you on, do you have like an ankle bracelet or are you under surveillance? Are there's like black vans outside making sure you don't leave the house or what?
I don't have a Canada sanctioned ankle bracelet, but I do have an ankle bracelet.
Audition or called up? All called up.
I'm up here to audition.
Audition.
Yeah. First audition.
Wow.
I sometimes do these auditions and they're so bad, especially this home one. They're a little better when they're from home, but when I got to go in there, I'm a wreck. If you see some of these audition tapes of me, that's the real shit. That's the shit that
I remember one time we auditioned for like a voiceover and you went in before me and you had your iPad with you and you were using the iPad to go through your script.
Yeah.
I was like, you can do that?
Why would we be auditioning for a voiceover that you have to go in? What was it for?
Yeah, it was for something. It was something created by the Family Guy people, or I don't know.
It was like Jeep. A cartoon. Well,
yeah.
What, you don't know what I sound like? Just hire me or not. Come in and read your thing.
The ease of taking your iPad in, though, is that's a good move.
I look pretty professional. And then I watch, like on the other side, as a director, I watch auditions and I'm like, it's the worst. Do you do anything? What's that?
Do you do anything to make them comfortable off the things that you know make you uncomfortable?
Yes, I'm very kind and patient with people. Like, I don't yell at anybody.
You sit there with your arms crossed, looking at them, like
sunglasses
making them
do it again. Again, but much quicker. Much quicker. I just am like, there's parts of me where I'm like, I'm really good at this kind of stuff. I'm a really good actor. I can do this. I can perform. I can be in front of people. And then like you put in front of, give me a script to remember. I can't remember any of it. Mm-hmm. I can't remember one damn line. Anybody ever. And I did it. I did one the other day with my wife. She's like, you know, she's off camera, giving me the lines. And I could see this look of pity and you're not going to get this one, you know, like, let's do it. You know, we should do it. Why not? But I don't know.
Read with somebody that's not an actor, you're like, hey, I'm not really giving it everything here, even though you really are.
Yeah. On the day. That's the other thing. It's so unnatural to be in an audition. It's like, it's not what it is. You're not in wardrobe and you're not in the place. It's like, it's so phony. We should just stop. Let's just stop it. Let's stop making movies and TV shows and just do podcasts, email, and work.
I mean, do you find it easier when you write it that you don't have to remember the lines?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I audition for all the On Cinema stuff every season. I have to go in and prove myself.
Microphone.
You should do rewrites on the auditions you go in for.
Yeah, I know. I would like... This is not very... Also, there's so many things that are just poorly written, and you're just like, oh, this is not... This isn't natural, and I don't know. I'm happy for you, though, that you're going in there and nailing these auditions and landing parts and getting flown up to San Francisco or Vancouver or wherever you say you are. It looks like you're in old widow's mansion or something.
It does feel that way, yeah. It's a 5-bedroom house in the middle of suburbia somewhere.
All right.
We believe you.
I don't know. I'm looking at those outlets back there. Doesn't look Canadian to me.
Want to do a tour?
Let's do a quick tour. Let's see your, kind of mess you made in that bathroom. No one's there looking. But now you're in the final scene from 2001. That bed is.
This is a bathroom. This is a
toilet.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow, look at that.
That's great.
Oh, almost lost an earbud into the toilet.
Oh, my God.
We've got this over here.
Great highlight for the show.
You press that, and it just really starts going.
Squirts hot water up your asshole.
Yeah, the hot water doesn't work, so it's all cold.
Oh, Jesus.
Yay. It's like doing a cold plunge for your asshole.
You get the crushed ice bidet.
Look at this with the second floor and everything and the chandelier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at that chandelier.
Wow. They pulled all the stops for you, Nick.
Yeah, they did. Producer said,
I want him living a life of luxury if he's going to be up here coming up to do my make sure he's at
five bedrooms for one person.
Yeah.
All five?
Like, well, yeah.
I've been sleeping in this one.
Yeah, nice.
This is the one I've unloaded my bag in.
You have a changing room.
Yeah. That's that. I've taken a phone call or two in this room.
You must be just so excited to talk to people here on this show. This was.
Oh, yeah.
We're not on the air anymore.
This one is just a nice room. I haven't spent much time in here.
Oh, man, this is so creepy that you just got
It's got that desk. Yeah.
They should have put you up at a Wyndham. I should have put you up at a Wyndham hotel. That would have been just fine. You would have been happy.
But you stay in a hotel. You can't even go to the lobby.
Right. They got a pretty tight ship up there in Canada, I got to say.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, I got to run. Go back to that weird life you're living. But this is...
Last day for him,
This is the last day. You ready? Let's hear it for Nick Thune.
All right.
Let's clap him out.
Did you get tested today or tomorrow?
I got tested yesterday, but they just keep you for 14 days, so...
Yeah. All right.
All right. Good luck with all that.
Send me those test results.
Hey, mate.
Yeah, I'll screenshot them.
All right, buddy. Good to see you in the flesh. Thanks for
coming.
Yeah,
you too.
Good to see you, Nick.
Thank you.
Bye, Nick.
Care.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Nick. Yeah. You should have had, you should have queued up for that. He's my little Saint Nick.
Oh, shit. That
would have been cute.
It's Christmas.
All right, one more call, Matt, and then we really must run things down to the ground.
All right. Glenn Gallagher has been waiting patiently.
What is this? Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross? Glenn Gallagher, Glenn Ross? Come on, man.
Come on, what is this?
Close it.
The fuck is this? Glenn Gary, Glenn Gallagher,
always
Glenn Ross?
Be closing.
Always be closing.
No, I was just.
What's up, fucking mustard
I was
man?
Just...
Top nachos, I like that.
Come on.
What's this?
Top nachos. Yeah, they say top nachos. You got the, you got Elvis on the moon
as Bigfoot.
Oh, and the flat Earth.
As Bigfoot, flat Earth, and you got some contrails in there.
That's cool.
And then it says, melt the truth.
Okay.
I don't know. There's some joke punk band from Brooklyn over here. My girlfriend works at the venue, so she snagged one for me because she thought they were cool.
Is that a Pissman's mustard hat?
Official, you know it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Right on, hold brothers. On a sec. Do you have two cameras going, Glenn? Are you also Gil Scott iPhone?
Yeah, I'm blocking over here on the left and over here as well.
There's a whole other show going on Zoom. What's going on, Glenn?
Not much. I was actually calling in. Oh, this is an echo. Can you cancel my other?
I just
other
wanted
Gil
to see
Scott
that
iPhone?
Other angle. Yeah,
okay.
Sorry. Yeah, there we go. No, I was calling in. This is a question I've had for you, Tim, for just a little bit now, and I was wondering what you thought the worst regional accent in the United States is.
Oh, well, I did see this pop up in the news that I think. This isn't necessarily my opinion, but I believe Philadelphia took the top prize in some poll, right? Is that what you're referring
really?
To?
No, I didn't see that in the news, but Pennsylvania is definitely the territory to work with. I think the northeastern Pennsylvania, sort of Scranton, Wilkes-Barre area is the absolute bottom of the barrel.
Philly's pretty bad. Philly is pretty bad. I'm not a fan of the sort of Worcester, Boston.
What about the
South
Boston Cap?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
that
Boston Cap thing there. They're all the worst.
What's the best though?
No, but
Staten Island's pretty bad.
Staten Italy. That's the, they call it the Guinea Gangplank. You leave Brooklyn, you get to Staten Island on your way to Jersey.
What's the best?
The best regional accent?
Maine.
Maine is like no accent. They would probably be like the.
No, you got that sort of a like a. It's a refined North New England kind, a little bit of a Boston hob. Kind
it's Boston, little, but it's like English. Worse. It's like cranked
it's
up.
It's more
a notch.
Refined. It's a little more pleasing on the ear.
I like the North Carolina kind of thing because they got the Southern thing going on, but they're not like, they don't sound dumb like they do way down in like Louisiana.
Well, we'll have to get Fred Armisen on this because he's, of course, done a wonderful long bit where he goes through every state and does the accent pretty effectively. Does the Northwest doesn't have any accent to speak of at all, do they? There's nothing really going on up there.
That's what Fred says. Portland is like a no accent.
Right.
But maybe not. Maybe he's not picking up on it.
So I'm at this barber. Yes, speaking of Fred, I'm at this barber yesterday, and I know the guy. I've known him for years. He's my age, you know. And another guy's cutting my hair, but this guy runs the place, and he goes to the guy cutting my hair. He goes, "You know that show Portlandia?" That loud. And the guy goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I went to this guy's this guy's kid's birthday party, and the guy from that show was there at the party." The guy doesn't really care, right? The other guy goes, "Oh, okay, yeah. Can you believe that? The guy with the glasses. Yeah, cool." Doesn't say nothing about who I am or how I, you know.
Okay.
Sort of just like puts me in a real comfortable position.
Did you explain who you were then?
No, I just let it go. Anyways. Well, it's a good subject. What about most handsome president?
Most handsome president, I would have to say Barack Obama.
That was an opinion here. I think he's.
I said he's got to be in the top five, top three.
Yeah.
I think he'd look better with a little facial hair, though, like a goatee.
You know, earlier in his presidency, not later, he kind of like started to.
Grade up.
Started to look stressed out.
I think he's too lanky. I think he's a little too, like, bony and. I don't know. He's
not want a big fat Woodrow Wilson.
Everybody goes for the JFK thing, but he's got that Boston accent, which sucks. That's kind of like.
I think he's odd looking. I think he's weird
JFK's
looking.
Up there. He's one of the most handsome.
He's
come hunky. On.
He's got that big weird helmet.
It's undisputed.
Hair.
I would love to Raja you so hard. Like, come on.
Yeah, just don't listen to him. We're talking about looks.
My vote is.
And those big teeth, too.
My vote is.
Big teeth. All right, he's ugly. Forget it.
Sorry.
Matt, bring this up. My vote is. Ulysses S. Grant. Take a look at this.
I'm agreeing with you, Tim.
This guy is. This what a snack he is.
Wait, where is he? Where is he in the running order?
He's right after Lincoln, about three after Lincoln. There he is. Oh, what am I right? Two after Lincoln.
Right in the center there.
Oh, yeah.
Now bring him up. There's other pictures of him. Bring him up. I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to make all you ladies and men wet.
It's a smoke show.
Smoke show. Oh, look at that on the right. Ooh. Me likey.
Ulysses S. Grant.
Me.
Oh, here's a handsome one.
Me love it. No, kiss on that. I'm going to snack on that boy. He's tough. He's rough and tough. All right, we'll talk more about this in the after hours and much more to discuss. We haven't talked about the impeachment of Donald John Trump. I love John. I wish his middle name was Jason. Donald Jason Trump.
Jared.
I'm going to give you my exclusive thoughts on the lecherous bad guy, Marilyn Manson. People are asking me about that. Real trash man who I've had experiences with, personal experiences, which I will share in the after hours.
Is this revisionist history? Because he was wonderful when he was on your show. Now,
I don't know about that.
Like
there's some highlights of my show, and then there are some other things that we can talk about in the after hours. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to Rodney Asher. His film
creates conversation.
His film Glitch in the Matrix out now. People can rent that, buy it, whatever. And Nick Thune's movie is out too. Watch them together at the same time. See how that goes. See you next time. See you next week. See you on Saturday if you're coming to the Tim and Eric Valentine's Day watch along at viewstub.com/Tim and Eric. Patreon.com/OfficeHoursLive and OfficialOfficeHours.com for shirts, mugs, pugs, rugs. We got new rugs at the store. New Office Hours rugs, Doug.
Seasons are changing.
New Office Hours rugs for sale.
Oh, we got rugs?
Yeah. These are nice rugs. Beautiful rugs.
12 by 20.
See you in a few minutes, my patriots.
Bye-bye. Don't miss next week's broadcast. The days going are the seasons they do change. Seasons are changing. Amen. Amen.
But truth is truth, and if they then concern not mine, my friend. They're free to fantasize.
Right into it. Let's get right into it, please.
Fuck off!
Well, I do not think of it.
All right, thank you.
You're gonna go be a guru.